Hallelujah. We worship you. And Father, we're thankful that you've already come in, begin to do the miracles that Jesus did through us. We're asking that you'll continue to work through us now, Father, through the person of your Spirit. Glorify him in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to remind you of a few things before we get started. I'm so thankful that the Lord got in here and got some things done with miracles. And I know that he did. And I'd thought about, you know, that we were going to do this after I preached. And praise God for the Holy Ghost. He just tells us what to do. We just follow him. And we appreciate that so much. Glory to God. Again, we've been doing this almost every service, but it's getting close. Jim and Kathy Martin will be here February 21st through the 24th. That's 2 weeks from today. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to have a good time. And as I've always said, Jim always has a very pertinent, you might say prophetic word, because it's very, you know, to the now, and it's always for us. He's labored in prayer for us. No service tonight, so there will be no calling in the lost tonight. I want to continue to invite people out to our Wednesday night services. We're really having a good time. We started a series a couple of weeks ago, and I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then we had to skip one Wednesday night. And it's all on warnings. We initially named it warnings, but now we're it's warnings from the book of Revelation, and it's just the first three chapters, and it's the seven churches of Asia that we're studying, and we're studying it from a standpoint of what were the warnings, the things that we want to stay away from, and what were the blessings, the things that he said, you know, that he praised the churches for. And we want to be in that category. We want to be in that column. We want to be in that place where we're looking at. And so this Wednesday night, we will be into the study of, we've only just got into the church at Ephesus. So if you come this Wednesday night, you're not too far behind. You can catch up anytime on the website. And we're studying the book, or the church at Ephesus, and some of the things that they were praised for, and specifically some of the things that they were rebuked for. And one of the things that Jesus himself, the Lord of heaven himself, mentions during his exhortation to the church at Ephesus is the Nicolaitans. And the Nicolaitans are mentioned two times in chapter 1, 2, and 3. And it's a very important group, and it's a very important group to stay away from. And that group is very alive today in the church. And you watch it all the time. You see it all the time on TV. It's rampant. And we're spelling out exactly what the Nicolaitans are. And in this week, we're going to get into some really extensive study of what the Nicolaitans are. So you'll know, and we're coming from a very historical background, and some men that I trust that are spirit-filled who have done a study on this, and we'll read you some of their studies from it. So come out on Wednesday night. This Sunday we are on What Does It Take? And obviously what we're talking about, what does it take for revival? And we've found that we're in a very special niche. I didn't say we're special. I just said that we're in a special niche. In other words, we've been asked to do something that is, there's not a whole lot of other people trying to do it or trying to accomplish it. It's for everybody. But we spell it out. We'll continue to spell it out this morning. Well, next week we'll continue to talk about what does it take. But we're going to probably go into Proverbs chapter 5 and talk about the immoral woman, however you want to, immoral, the harlot, the adulteress. But we're going to look at it from two aspects. And I'm going to ask you to please be here, be a part of it, because we're marching as a church. And this morning we're going to continue to launch. Let's launch out of the Word of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 16 and look at the words in red, the words of Jesus. We're going to look at Mark 16, verse 15 through 18. Look at it together with me. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall, number one, do what? Cast out devils. Number two, they shall speak with new tongues. Number three, they'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And number five, they lay hands on the sick and they will what? Now, isn't it amazing? It says lay hands on the sick and they do what? They will recover. So a lot of people lay hands on the sick. I myself at times, and they have not recovered, or they've recovered naturally. There's a difference. You know, if you give anything time, most things do heal itself, unless it's some kind of incurable disease. But here, all the listing of those things that Jesus said, he said to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and here was the gospel. I mean, that was the gospel, was the good news. The gospel was not only salvation, but it was all these other things, and it was power. It really was. It was power. It was power that was supposed to be seen and felt and examined and produced. Amazing enough, and this is not our assignment this morning to go into this area, but if that was a litmus test for most people to say, are you a Christian? Or let's say it's a litmus test to join churches. Praise God, it's not. Praise God, it's in the Word. But can you imagine? Okay, how many devils have you cast out lately? What? how many people have you laid hands and seen them go from sickness to just within a couple of hours, what would have taken a week or two, they really recovered, or some kind of incurable disease? So Jesus left a church that was supposed to be producing power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's go to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to look at the words of Jesus again. And let's look at verse 18 through 20. He not only left us with power, but he left us with a posture of commitment and a position that he wanted us to hold of giving it all to him. Now let's look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, or alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, in that what we just read, and I'm asking you a rhetorical question, obviously it's in front of you. Jesus says, go you know, teach them to, baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded. Is it Jesus, this is the question, is it Jesus' will for us to tell others that everything he said, he wants them to do? Thank you. You're a highly intelligent bunch. I appreciate that. It's good to speak to smart people. Hallelujah. So now let's go to Luke chapter 14. Hallelujah. And let's also once again look at the words in red, verses 26. These are the words of our Lord. And I begin, and you follow along, reading silently with me. In verse 26, it says, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my, what is that word? Does anybody know what that means? It means a disciplined follower. He cannot be my disciplined follower. And whosoever hath, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Did he say, we'll read just a little bit more of that in just a moment, because I said we'd read through verse 35. Did he say in just previous verse, teach him to observe everything I said? Did he say that? Is this something that he said? Yes, these are very, obvious. This is something he said. Did he say in Mark that these signs will definitely follow them that believe? Are we seeing that in the church at large? No, we're not. So if you went off of that itself, then you would just, the argument, there would be an extenuating argument that there's very few people saved. There's very few people. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying this, that Jesus said that his disciples would do those things. Then he described what a disciple was here in this chapter and verses that we're reading here. A disciplined follower that goes to the extent that says that he hates, and we've done teachings on this. This is not vehemently, I hate you, I've got a grudge against you. This is to love you less than. To love you less than, so much so that it actually could be spelled out in such a strong word as hate. In other words, choosing him in the light, you, me, my own self, or all my children, or anything about me, in the light of him, I love him so much, and my obedience and submission is my posture towards him is so much love that whatever asks me to do, I'm going to follow him. So much so that in the light of what, however I would love them, it'd be comparison to hate. Because here would be the deal, and if once we read this out, you'll understand even better, that doesn't mean you're a bad mommy, bad daddy, bad husband. It makes you the best. Because what happens is when you're able to commit to him, he's looking after their best interest. He's looking after their good, happiness, blessings. He wants the best for them. But if you choose them first, in other words, if your life is all about them, if you're tied up in them and your affection's all in them, that's the ground that I worship. No, he's the one you worship. He's the one of adoration. And then all of everything that you do for them and everything about them and all obedience that you're supposed to be submitting to them. Some of you are thinking, what is he talking about? What would be a good case in point? It would be like this. Because your children are supposed to be the thing that you cherish the most. You just cherish them. And your wife, I'd give my life for my children, my grandchildren, my wife. But what would be a good case in point? Let's say this. Let's say you as a parent found a church that you saw the power of God in. And you said, my God, as I read the Word of God, this looks like the church where God, this looks like a Book of Acts church. This looks like a church that Jesus left. At least the guy's trying, and the elders are trying. They're not arrived, but man, that's as close as I can find. And boy, when I go there, I just feel the power and the love of God. And I just feel the edification. Well, when you make a commitment to say, and in your heart, we don't have lines necessarily when you come up and join, but you join by continual attendance. Well, then you get a teenager that kind of gets up in age, and as a teenager grows, they not only grow in you should be able to trust them more, you should lay more responsibility on them, and then they have more kind of a voice. A five-year-old doesn't have where are we going to, what we're going to do today. They may have a voice, but basically you can override them pretty good. But once they get up, to a certain age, then they have more of authority, in the home. Even though they are not the trumping authority, they have more authority to speak and to say. If a case in point, and I didn't even think about this, I'm kind of leaving my notes, but I can feel that you're saying, what does it mean to love him more? Excuse me. I don't know if it's the anointing or if I'm just moving around a lot. Now I'm getting hot. The case in point would be this. You get a 13, 14, 15-year-old that, you're going to a church like this, doesn't have to be this church, and then, there's power falling, there's glory, there's all those kinds of things, and then they go to their friend's church, and they got an incredible, youth program, or they, and I'm going to be nice, but they got an incredible entertainment program, where, man, they're bowling three times a month, or they're taking them, you know, to Disney World four times a year. My alarm's going off. Thank you, Father. Okay, I think that was mine. They're just got a, you know, and then they've got some really cool things, and they got some, you know, cool giveaways, and they've got, you know, pizza, you know, two times a month, and they've got, you know, neat guests coming in and fireball speakers, and it's just cool. You know, it's just, I'd like to go. You know, it's really cool. And then Susie comes and says, Mom, look, or Joe, or, you know, little Joe comes and says, look, you know what? I want to go to that church. They don't preach tongues. They don't preach healing. They don't necessarily, and they, you know, that dialogue probably is not there, you know, between mom and dad. But yet, I want to go there because that's cool. And all that we really do at our church is talk about prayer. I mean, we have some fellowship every once in a while, but all we're really doing right now is, you know, it's kind of boring. I want to go there, you know. I want to be entertained. I really want, you know. A lot of parents will say, look, okay, I want my kids to be in church. So rather than them lose total interest in church, I'll go with them, or I'll let them go to their church, per se, on Sunday or Wednesday, and, you know, my convictions over here, or I'll start going with them half the time, and they can go with me half the time. When you know that God calls you to revival, commitment, and to a certain sense, if you're asking yourself, if you go to this church and you ask yourself the question, are we radical? Let me help you relax. Yes, we're radical. We are. We are very radical. If somebody in this town ever accuses you, you go to that radical church, say, yes, yes, we are. Thank you very much. Now, case in point would be where mom and dad cave in, to love, to go. They think in their mind, I'm going to go be with them in that, because I'll keep them in church. That's powerless. Putting their foot down and say, no, honey, look, I love you, but until you're 18, you're going to go where God tells me. I choose him, and God says here. And that's, you know, when you're 18, you're an adult. You can stay in the house, you can move, you can do whatever, but you're going to go here. That's choosing him and I loving him more. Because you say, no, I love them. I love them. And God, because you can reason stuff out in your brain. You know what? Your brain will get you all messed up. I'm going to go with it, you know. And then you get them in a powerless place, and you take them out of radicalism. Are we radical? Yes, we are. But you know what? Yes and no. Let me say this. Yes and no, we're not radical. Yes, we are radical in comparison to so much of the modern church. But no, we're not radical compared to the church that he left. How would you explain it? It's kind of radical for a man to stand up nowadays in the church or any place, because there's a lot of sinners that do this, or people that are not born again. I've been faithful to my wife for 20 years, never committed adultery. That's kind of radical nowadays. But it's not radical. Nobody should applaud you for being faithful to your wife. Nobody should say, oh my God, you haven't committed adultery. Duh. When we got some little ones, we got a bunch of older ones that have passed this stage, and we got some little grandkids that are going to get to this point real soon. They're just in their, Isla is running around pretty good, and I mean, Dre is running around pretty good. Isla is still in her Frankenstein walk. You know, she's getting out of it. She's almost out of the Frankenstein walk. She can go pretty good. But at a certain point, you know, when they start telling you that they got to go potty, you start applauding them. You know, and then Nana don't have to go change her diaper anymore, because Papa don't do it. Papa don't do it. But that's the point where, you know, woo, you went to the potty. You're so good. Yay.
It's like the church is applauding people for stuff. Now, listen, if you're born again for, you know, a month, and you're starting to come out of stuff, and then somebody comes up around you and says, praise God, you've not been doing those drugs anymore, have you? No, I've been tempted. I did, you know, one time last, but I haven't, you know, and you're not staying all night anymore. No, when I first, maybe the first week, but I'm coming. That's different with a baby. If you've been in this a year, nobody needs to say, oh God, you mean to tell me that you've been faithful to your wife? Oh God, you mean to tell me, young man, that you're not fornicating? Oh God, young man or young woman, you mean to tell me that you're not, you know, doing things privately? There's a walk of power. Are we radical? Yes, we're radical. Oh my God, I'm not getting amens. Help me, somebody, help me. I'll go in the office and preach to myself here. Hallelujah. Jesus said, let's finish up where we're reading here in Luke. He said, what verse were we in? 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king and sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great while off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So he said, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salt seasoned? It is neither good fit for the land, neither for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But Jesus there makes reference to the cross, that a man has to pick up his cross, what, daily, and follow him. Let me tell you something about crosses. This is something you probably already know. Crosses were not made to injure people. They weren't. They were made to kill people. Your cross is not your sickness. It's not your depression. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. Your cross is your choice to choose. You know, we've got a choice, and every day we have to choose not to choose or not to have choices. In other words, we have to choose to be a walking dead man or a walking dead woman to the flesh. Now, if you're hearing this morning and you're thinking, I don't get all the terminology, when we talk about the flesh, we're talking about the part of you that is the self-exerting part that wants to assert itself even after you're born again. Because we live in this flesh, and this flesh carries an element of rebellion. You might as well say it that way. This flesh carries an element of rebellion. You can subdue it by living a God-submitted life to the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But you must understand this, till the day that you die, you're still in this flesh. And I said this Wednesday night, you can pray a lot, you can fast a lot, you can read the Word a lot, and you can come to places where you really are free. But if you ever back off of that, if you ever stop coming to church, if you ever stop coming, you know, to church and stop reading your Word and stop praying in tongues, you will go right back up to the levels of flesh that you started to begin with to try to get out of. You will, because you're living in a flesh body. So that's the flesh. The flesh is a point of rebellion. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about that God wants to hurt your body or put anything bad on it. But crosses were made to kill the flesh, not to injure it. In other words, he doesn't want you, here's the thing. If your thing is, well, I'm going to just injure my flesh. I'm just hoping where I don't do what I've been doing quite as often. I'll just do it once or twice a month or once or twice a year. He doesn't want to injure it. He wants to kill it. Absolutely kill it. That it does not exist inside of you. What are you talking about, the flesh? Again, things that can rule your life, contrary to the Word of God, and hurt other people. Hurt other people. Okay, I think we're getting somewhere. Are we radical? Just, it will help you to relax and say, yes, we are. We're not looking to get in the status quo. We are radical, but we don't want to take radicalism to a point of pride. Because what we really are is just, you know, we're supposed to be just what he left. Just normal Christians that have the power to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and do all the things that he described in the Word of God. Let me rehearse part one for just a moment. And there might be some things in here, and hopefully I can do that in about 5 minutes to bring you up to speed, because some of you weren't here 2 weeks ago when we mentioned some of these things. What does it take for the? What does it take? This is the title to what we're teaching. What does it take for us to go into revival? Because that's our call. Our call is to see a tremendous harvest coupled with the miraculous. Now, we said a few weeks ago, and it bears repeating, and I'll say this again, and all I can say is, if you didn't hear this before, go back and listen to the previous lessons, and it will clarify this, because I do not want to be misunderstood here. I will say this: Jesus loves anybody that feeds the poor. And Jesus, there are certain programs that are not just programs, slash programs, they are actually God-given ministries. Jesus fed the poor, so I'm not coming against that. And we may feed the poor in the days ahead. I mean, a real ministry program. But listen, what I said that he gave me to help kind of shock us into thinking was, nobody has died in Collier County in the last year from starvation. Are you guys cold in here? Or are you just, yeah, okay, help us out a little bit, Rex or Marty. Okay, I got a Marty on the front row. Nobody has died in Collier County in the last year that I know of, where there might have secretly, but I don't know, of starvation. Maybe the last 10 years. And the reason why I say that, they may say I'm redundant. We've mentioned it two or three times. It's just to burn in our hearts as, look, there are people doing that, and they're doing a good job. There are people that are already doing that and doing a good job. In other words, they're feeding the poor. But there's not a lot of people and a lot of churches that their aim is to say, we believe in the miraculous because here's our niche. Here's where a lot of people are falling in, a lot of ministry is being lost. Here's the ministry of power that's being lost. There's a lot of people in the last year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years that have died of heart failure, congestive heart failure, kidney disease, diabetes, worked on their bodies so long that it just began to break down their kidneys, their heart, blah, blah, blah. Cancer has killed maybe thousands in the last 10 years. I don't know. I don't want to exaggerate, but a lot of people. Money, medical science, all of the above, hospice, people being really kind to them, and I thank God for that. All that did not keep them from dying. The only thing that would have kept them from dying was some church or some ministry or some people being radical enough to say, okay, look, let them handle the feeding. We salute you. Good job. But we're going to be radical enough to say he left a miracle-working ministry in the earth. Now, if that's not happening, then the next question is, how do we get there? How do we actually get there? Then, so what he began to do is, a long time ago, he began to work on us and say, okay, you got to come out from among them and be separate. And then our flesh, and we're still in it, where he's teaching us. Isn't it amazing? Jesus is having to come in the power of the Holy Spirit and teach his church morality again. I didn't get no ape. Yes, thank you, Homer, from the back. Jesus is standing in the pulpit and teaching his church, who will hear, have ears to hear, morality. I grew up in a church that, you didn't even think about it, that whether people thought it was wrong to, have immoral affairs or, do stuff before you were married. I mean, sometimes that happened, but people, it wasn't like that people thought that was okay and you could still go to heaven. Now Jesus is having to come back to a radical church, to a church that says, we want revival. He goes, okay, if you want revival, then I'm going to have to teach you my word again, because you're hearing all this junk out there that you can do this stuff and it's okay. And I still love you. Well, he does still love you, but you're not going to have the power if you do that. You're not going to have it. You're not going to get people out of wheelchairs, and you're not going to get people out raised from the dead, and you're not going to do those. Well, look, you're happier if you do what he says anyway. Glory be to God. What we're going to teach you next, he's going to teach you next week on the immoral woman. And that's not none of you ladies, okay? Praise God. We're going to go into Proverbs and teach on some of that. But praise the Lord. But what I saw was this. I saw us and other churches like us. There's eight billion people on the planet. 8 billion. He has not whittled this down to a mockery. There's more of us spotted. There's a bride out there that's crying out, God, give us revival. God, give us holiness. God, give us righteousness. God, give us, Lord, help us to see. There's a lot, okay? I'm not saying it's the majority of the church. I'm just saying there's a lot. Okay, there's thousands, there's millions, okay? There's 8 billion people. That's a lot. It's more than Immokalee's got. So there's brothers and sisters out there. We're not alone. But I saw us like this. I really saw us like this, walking around, and as I said, with charts, graphs, in a laboratory, white coats on. You know, that was the look here. What do we got to do to produce this? You know, all these little Bunsen burners. You know, if you took lab in school, these little Bunsen burners with these little test tubes and that stuff boiling. And I don't know what that stuff is. And I don't know how you get anything out of that. We're going to test that thing at 200 degrees and at 400 degrees. So we're walking around and we're trying to figure out, I don't know if a figure out is the right word, it's all in the word, but we're trying to get to a place with our charts and our, you know, we're like technos, or we're in the laboratory trying to lab technicians saying, look, how do we get there? You know, we want to get there. We want to get to a place where consistently people come. Now, one thing that you got to do, you've got to exercise it. Okay? In other words, if you don't preach salvation in your church, nobody's ever going to get saved. Okay, that's a give me. And a lot of churches don't even preach salvation, the blood of Jesus anymore. They just give you a good, happy, and give you the announcements. And also we want you to know that, you know, some churches actually own golf courses now, or have their own country club membership and stuff like that. And they give you like a, the average sermon, I believe this is correct. I'd have to check it out. The average sermon is 20 minutes. I mean, that is like, that's pretty much across the board, 20 minutes. I do not know what in God's name that they can say in 20 minutes. I know the people like it, because their mind don't even know what in 20 minutes. I mean, you can stand on your head 20 minutes and do nothing. And then at the end of it, you know, and we will see all of you at the tennis court this week at such and such a time. The golf course, we're going to tee off, and all of the men's, we're going to have a men's prayer breakfast at such and such. And so, and it's just really fun. But, glory. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. You can't go there unless you're doing it. Okay, so we are, not to brag on ourselves, just saying, okay, you got this down in your chart, right? Yeah, you can't do it. You can't see it unless you're doing it. So, okay, call the prayer lines in. Well, what if nothing happens? Well, it don't really matter, because you can't ever see it unless you're doing it. So at least call the prayer lines. Call them forward to get them out of the wheelchairs. If you stand there with egg on your face, so what? At least you're doing it. At least you're doing it. I'm scared if we call them, we're not going to get them healed. Well, you're never going to get them healed, because you can't. You, He's never going to jump off of somebody doing nothing onto somebody and do something. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, I do a lot of short whisper prayers when I see them in the wheelchairs in the mall or in the whatever. And I believe it does help to some degree. The day is going to come. You know, that's just really, that's kind of a pacifier right now. It's a pacifier for me because he knows my heart. The day's going to come and I'm just going to go right over there. Okay, ma'am, I'm not trying to scare you. I'll talk to the person that's willing them first. I'm a preacher, or, you know, you can just say, you know, don't go other. I just want to tell you that the glory. Don't act religious. Act as common as you can. You'll scare people and they'll think you're a weirdo. And they'll say, back me out of here, back me. You're like, oh, God. Weirdos. Just, ma'am, don't ask them, are they crippled? You know they are. But, ma'am, would you, you know what? I go to attend a church where we believe in the miracle working power of God. Would you mind if I just quietly, don't try to get the mall or the store. Don't get their attention, because if it don't happen, then you're really going to look bad. But if it does happen, they're going to find out, because that person's going to be, woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, excuse me. Glory, about broke my mic. I can't do that. Now I'm acting. Would you mind if I just quietly prayed for you? Most people, you'll find some won't. Most people will, if you act civil and intelligent and don't act religious, don't act all spiritual, just pray for them. Most people will let you pray. Hallelujah. Y'all having a good time? I am too. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we got all these Bunsen burners going. So we're at least preaching it, and we're at least in the churches that don't teach the power, they're not going to have the power. I mean, that's just obvious. I don't care, they can have 10,000 people going there, but if they don't teach on the power and call prayer lines or have people, look, even if they don't have a prayer line in their main auditorium, if that's too much, if they don't say after, look, as soon as I get done here, west, east, divide up, here, you know, go to room 104, 105, blah, 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 because people are going to be laying hands on you. We're going to follow the word of God. If those churches, those ministries on TV, if they're not doing that, they will not have miracles. They will have some miracles at some times, but they will not have a continual revival kind of miracle working power on a continual basis. Hallelujah. Now, this is important. I know I'm going over some stuff, and I'm just following him, and we will not even get to today. So there's a lot in front of us, and praise God for it. But listen to this. We read this. It bears repeating. It bears repeating. People will think, okay, churches that do not teach the power for miraculous and no miracles, this is what people will think if they go to one of those churches and it's a successful church, okay? I want you to understand that. People will think that if it's not in the service, it's not God's will. In other words, if they don't see those things working and they go to that church and they're comfortable with that church, they'll just think, oh, that's not, must not be God's will. You know, must not be God's will for the church nowadays. Success in numbers, financial prosperity, and expansions have become, when I say expansions, like, okay, we're building, and I believe in building. We're going to need a building one day. We're going to need classrooms and administration and all that kind of stuff. But that's what I'm talking about, an expansion, okay? Success in numbers, financial prosperity, and expansions have become the confirmation to most of the modern church of who God is and what his plan is for the church and humanity. In other words, if those things are being accomplished, and they are, I mean, you can turn on those TVs, and my God, they got thousands sitting there with a beautiful auditorium, and you know they got to have a big fat bank account. And I'm not condemning that, but if that is happening, then, and then that's being accomplished, then it's expected that God is also confirming what is being taught or not being taught. How can you argue with success? We've got His stamp of approval. What is being taught or not taught from the pulpit? If a powerful pursuit of the supernatural in miracles is not being taught, or if a powerful pursuit of biblical holiness is not being taught, if a pursuit of the supernatural gifts is not being taught, and yet there is prosperity in numbers, finances and expansions, these will be the confirmation that the others are not necessary. This is horribly misleading. This can only be accomplished when church people do not know their Bible or choose to ignore certain parts because they choose to have their ears tickled. Hallelujah. So there's more to be said. I think the last part of what we need to do, because I'm listening, because there's just so much, and I thank God that there's so much, and please come back. Wednesday night was very powerful. No, last Sunday was very powerful. If you weren't here for whatever reason, we took a tremendous look at Mary versus Martha, and that was very powerful. And someone told me, my God, Pastor, that ministered to me. That just filled something inside of me that I just needed, it sounded like, for years. So go back and listen to that. But I'm just saying that we're on a journey. And, okay, listening, I'm hearing him saying, we've got just a few minutes left, and we're going to take this and do this. Marty, get that prepared, if you would, or maybe it's already. There was a lot more for me that I thought, and I believe will be said in next Sunday, future services. But where are we at, and what does it take? Well, we are presently, let's look at it present tense. Where are we at? We know this. Okay, we're calling the people forward. We did that this morning. You believed. You said, okay, let's pray. That's just not happening in a lot of churches. You don't see that. And again, we're not trying to put down churches. We're just saying, okay, Lord, are we on this, laboratory? Are we looking ahead and saying, what are we doing? Are we going to make it? Because if we don't do certain things, we're not going to make it. We're doing the obvious. We continue to teach you and reiterate, I myself, Homer, all the time. By the way, if you're listening by the website or you're here this morning, go to our website, push the message button. It'll show up a number of different places that you can go there. Go to Associate Ministry and tap that button, and you will find Homer's ministry there that is just beautiful. And avail yourself to that. Just a very, very valuable part of what, just a continual reiteration of what we say up here all the time. So listen to Homer Betancourt on our website. But we will continue to teach you the five different inroads. Jim Martin's coming. He calls them the four pillars, and he combines the word in meditation and confession, I believe, in one, and that's perfect. Tim Stemple, if you hear him minister, he adds two more to the five, which is waiting on God and co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. But we're all saying the same thing, and I'm not going to go into all those different areas. We will continue. That is our foundation. The Word is our foundation. But out of the Word, we teach that. But what presently are we hearing? Well, we're presently hearing this message, and the Lord saying, okay, you're at least doing, you got to do it for me to come. In other words, you got to call the lines. We are hearing the Lord, some of the things that I'm hearing presently from the Lord that we are doing that is present tense is, it started with Homer. I heard a word of testimony that he had a few weeks ago, and he talked about, if you were here in that service, if not, that's on one of our messages, and I think he reiterated that on his young adults teaching that he did on that Sunday night. But it was a message of separation in ourself from the miracle, and I'll explain. And there's a whole lot to be said. He did a great job on it, as the Lord used him. Is that when an impossible situation was set in front of him, which was a child, and for all of us that are mature in the Lord, we understand that children are blatant miracles waiting to be happened. Okay, in other words, there's not a lot of mixture. There's no mixture there. If you're an elder, I say this kiddingly, but also certain seriousness, I can pray for you as an elder, and my faith will make a difference. But if you are an elder or not walking in obedience, you can be giving place to sickness. That's just, I can prove that, like in several places in the Word of God, okay? If you're walking in strife, if you're walking in unforgiveness, if you're walking in obedience, you're not walking in obedience, okay? Or if you're not an elder, like I said, but you've heard this word and you've been around for a long time, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, I can pray for you, and sometimes it'll help, but sometimes it won't help. Sinners get healed sometimes quicker than Christians because they're not real accountable, okay? Babies are young people. I love to pray for them, but the other thing too is, Lord, it shows where I'm at. It'll show where you're walking, okay? Because they just, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to accuse him of, okay? So Homer had an opportunity, thank God. God used him, and there was an immediate miracle that took place in a little infant's life. And the Lord showed him out of that, and if we had time, we'd have him, but, you know, go back, listen to that. But there was a real separation where the Lord said, you know, just leave yourself out of it and let me do it. Just absolutely, I'm the one that does the miracle. Just do what I ask you to do and leave yourself out of it and just believe me. And it worked. It really did work. You know, I recently had a similar, it just happened, you know, last week. I had a similar circumstance where I testified of it last week, where I got to pray for a little one. And they were already, you know, the doctor had already seen them, but I knew God touched them because immediately they went home from really crying at my house to playing in the front yard or backyard or wherever they were at. And the testimony of the dad was, I mean, there was an immediate reaction. So thank God. And I was reminded, and I didn't even think about it, I was reminded of what the Holy Spirit said. Okay, here's the thing. We got a testimony from Homer about the miracle that took place. And then about a week or two later, I don't know if you remember it or not, there was a prophecy that from the front about leaving yourself out of it. Or divorce, I think the word was divorce yourself from it. Divorce yourself from the miracle. Leave yourself out of it and just do what I ask you to do. Okay? So that's two things. And the third thing was I got an experience. And while I was praying for that little one, these sound like simple things, but folks, this is where miracles work. The next time you pray, don't try not to be religious. Don't try to say, oh God, don't start thinking about, is this thing going to happen or not going to happen? I mean, I need to build this thing up inside of me and, you know, kind of wince on the inside or, you know, really give it all I got. Relax and say, look, I'm just walking in obedience. I'm going to leave myself out of this. I'm an obedient son or daughter and Father in Jesus' name. So I got the experience, and so that was another thing. Here's the last, and you will have to be patient on this, but I believe that you need to hear this. We got an exhortation from Homer last week that said, please listen to this again. He exhorted some of our, and I did not know this, he exhorted some of our fathers in the faith to listen to it, and they did. And in fact, I was calling Gary this week, not about that, but on something else. And he said, when I called him, he called me back a little bit, and I was talking to him. He said, man, I was listening. He said, I listened to, because I had recommended that Gary, every once in a while I'll preach something and ask, you know, Gary to listen to it or Jim or whatever, because I think they'll enjoy it. And so I asked him to listen to What Is Your Parable? And I thought that was a real good one. And so he listened to that. Well, I didn't know Homer had called him or texted him and said, you need to listen to the prophetic prayer from last week. Now, how many of you know what a prophetic prayer is? Most of you do. Prophetic prayer is basically on the same level as prophecy. It is prophecy, but it's being prayed out. It's as the mind of Christ comes specifically for a given service. And so Homer had texted him, and so I called Gary anyway, and I said, I had a question for him. It was about something else. And he said, man, I've been listening to you a lot lately. He said, man, I listened to what is your parable? And then he said, I listened to the thing that Homer, you know, and he said, that was great, man. And I said, oh, my God. And then he said he had just started into another one. And I said, my God, you need help, you know, listening to me. I said, you need help. He goes, no, I'm getting help, you know. And he said, but I can't help it. He said, I got to listen to this one. He said, I just started in this one. And I knew what he was fixing to say. He said, I could not resist from the title, and the title being poop. So he said he just started into poop. I said, oh, God. And so I started laughing on that one. But anyway, Tim also, as a result of what Homer had said to them about listening to the prophetic prayer from last Sunday, he sent me a text, and he said this. He said, sent Habakkuk 2:2, and and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. Our parable and vision walk hand in hand into his perfect will. A blueprint is the byproduct, and you know Tim talks a lot about the blueprint. A blueprint is the byproduct of our parable and our vision put together. We enjoyed your message in regards to the same thank you so much and faithfulness in him to us. And so he just put blessings. We're going to listen to last Sunday's prophetic prayer, and then as soon as we get done, I'll say amen, and we'll bless you, and you go out of here. Because this is the thing. If we are a radical church, and we are wanting miracles, everything that he says is so important. Now, it's on a website. There are two ways. It's either in Mary versus Martha, it's the beginning of that, or it's the prophetic prayer right underneath it. We're going to listen to it again this morning. I'll tell you up front, it's about 14 minutes long. If you're not radical, okay. But, nope, some people do have to go to the bathroom. But listen to this, because this is what God's heart is for Immokalee. And he's asked us to be the stewards of that. In other words, he wants us to do that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Listen to it. Take notes if you can. Or if not, if you just listen to it the first time, that's fine. Go back later and take notes. God bless you. Go ahead, Marty, if you have that. I'll sit and listen to myself. Father, we worship you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, help us to pray the prophetic prayers. Tonight we'll meet and speak. We'll speak into the atmosphere. We'll speak into God. We'll speak also into the atmosphere. Right now, Lord, receive grace. We speak over this city. We pray over this region, 50-mile radius, but specifically this morning for our home. Lord, that the glory of the Lord will manifest here. Not that man would see and we would prove our argument, but that man would see the unfolding of the kingdom of God. Father, we pray that the streets of our city will be manifest with the glory of the Lord. The demonic powers that have held in garrison the gates of this city for generation after generation, the exploitation of the poor, Father, we pray will be brought down in the name of Jesus. Rich men exploiting the poor for their profits with no caring of the kingdom of God. We pray that that spirit will be brought underneath the power of God in this city. The demonic powers that have caused such a lust for money, we pray will be brought to nothing, Lord, under the glory of the Lord which is coming. The sins of adultery and perversion, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that those spirits that run rampant in the hearts of men over this city, Father, that we pray that, Lord, salvation will move in here like a great cloud of glory, that men will shake under the power of God, that it will not just be your love that they feel, but they will feel your very fear, Lord. We pray that, God, you'll show them whatever it takes. Now this we pray according to your word. The word says in Jude, having some making a difference with your love and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Lord, whatever it takes over this city and whatever it takes with every individual, whether it's a baptism in your love that they see the love of God and they repent and come unto God, or if they see hell and if they see the destruction of their life and the absence of your presence in their eternity, Lord, show them the lake of fire. Show them the worm that dieth not. Show them the pit in which there is no escape for all eternity. Show them, Lord, whether it be your love or both. But I pray that over this city and over every individual, that there will be a fear that will come so strong that will shake men and shake their lives. And I pray that, Father, behind it will come a glory, Lord, in which men will love God. Eschew evil, turn from their wicked ways and follow you, Father. Father, we love you. We worship you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Oh, heal our land. Heal our land, Lord. Heal our city, Lord. Raise up the gates of this city, Lord. Raise up the gates of this city, Lord. Oh, we're asking for more angels. We're asking for more angels, God. We're asking for more angels, God. We're asking for more angels, God. Holy Madala Mandele Messira Dalala Madele Nikiera. Oh, Dele Macris, Ele Macrasata La Macaya. Hey, Sura Mala Mandele Macris, Eridia Salamacure Mele Mandala Manso. Jira Mala Macure Le Macris. Father, we pray for families. We pray for families in the name of Jesus, that mothers will be mothers, that their careers will be second, that their ambitions will be second, that whatever would hinder them and distract them from knowing you and first following you and then giving a legacy of Christ into their children, that their children and children's children will raise up and call them blessed. And if you should tarry 100 years from now, speak of their grandmother and their mother's mother that left a legacy of prayer and left a legacy of giving the parables of God in their heart, in their minds, and teaching them righteousness. We pray for the fathers that they will be undivided in their attention, that they will give them their life to God, and they will give their life for God, and no career, no ambition, no hobby, no anything, Lord, will take the advantage of being a distraction in their life, giving themselves to you. Then I pray that they will lay down their life for their life, for their children, for their wives, that they will lay down their life, that they will give all that they have to serve you, to serve them, that they will pour out their lives to instill all the godly principles and all the godly faith and all the godly righteousness and everything that you are in life, in principle, in teachings, in honesty, speaking honestly. Father, I pray that the children will see the embracement in the homes and the love in the homes and the speaking kindly in the homes one to another. Father, I pray that backbiting, dissension, and the evil guile, the green, putrid guile of words that have nothing but death in them will have no place in our lips. Purge our lips. As Isaiah said, Lord, take the coal from the altar and burn our lips, Father. Burn our lips and our tongue, that the things that we speak are pure and honest and lovely and of a good report, having virtue. Lord, that the things that we should speak one to another are life. Our life. We speak that life one to another today. Lord, we repent, and I personally repent, of any words that are floating around that have death in them. Cleanse our words. Cleanse our words and wash us with hyssop, with the blood of Christ, fresh and anew, Lord. Wash us every day. Cleanse us. For we that are perfect seek perfection. We that have been perfected in the blood seek perfection. Our transition is always in Him, higher and higher. We worship You, Father. For more of angels and a company of angels, Your word says innumerable, to the church of the firstborn, write these things. Father, give us a great portion of those innumerable angels to carry out this work. We will not turn to them. We will not worship them. We will not speak to them to serve us on our own lust, but we will speak to You, and their assignments will come from You to them. And as a result of it, Father, give us this city. Give us this city. Give us this city. Give us this city. We pray that ignorance will go out of our city. We pray that mindlessness will go out of our city. We pray that our school will go from an F to an A. Lord, these things are impossible with the barrier of languages and those kinds of things. But Father, we pray that the impossible, it's impossible for legs to grow out, and yet we speak it. Lord, I pray that You'll take this school from an F to an A. I pray that You will cause our community to brighten up. I pray that, Lord, the stranger on the street, the vagabond, the derelict, the one standing in the gutter, Lord, that there will be no places to hide in our city, but, Lord, that there will be light on every corner and every back alley. There will be light. Father, I pray that the spirits that have tried to keep larger commerce from coming in, from anything that is manipulated behind the scenes, Lord, we need the large operations and enterprises to come in here. We need the hotels. We need everything that is conducive. I pray that the small mentality and the backstreet mentality that is preserved and kept only certain men rich, Father, I pray that it will be broken over our city in Jesus' name. I pray that the floodgates will be so strong that nobody or nothing will be able to stop it. Lord, commerce, commerce for the souls that will be saved, for the people that will need the jobs and the families that will need to be fed, not just the fields around us, but Father, commerce in every way. We speak life. We speak life. I thank you, Father, that the day and hour that, Lord, that a man will not be able to buy a prostitute on the streets of Immokalee. I thank you, Lord, that there will be no men, but I pray that those men that would come here or live here, Father, will shake. They will shake in their shoes and they will not understand. They will sweat because of the power of God. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. For the young men and the young women over this city that have never had the role models in front of them, and then at a very early age have been evangelized. They've been evangelized either through mental oppression, things that they've watched, or things that have been done to them, and they are not sure who they are, and they're not sure of their gender, and they're not sure of their affections. Father, we pray that not from the spirit in which many men have come with a hatred for these people. We love them, Father. We love them, Father. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name that they will begin, as these spirits are brought low and handcuffed and led away, as the psalmist said in 150, we can bind their kings with chains and their nobles with chains and their kings with fetters of iron. Lord, as we handcuff these spirits, we pray that role models will come forward and people, young men and young women and older men, will begin to realize through the mind of Christ not only what their real gender is, but Lord, give them godly affections, godly inclinations, godly natural things inside of them to turn from perversion, to turn to life. Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you for staying with us. Obviously, for all you Bible scholars, I did have it right to start with. It's to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And it is 149 instead of 150, but praise God. Amen. Just want to make sure you understand that perfectly. As a result, that prayer was so powerful, and the Holy Ghost, what he prayed in that prayer, it scared the kingdom of darkness so much so that that same night, and over the next couple days, that same night, we had a stabbing, a shooting that resulted in death, a beating that left someone close to death, and then another drive-by shooting that riddled a place. And it all happened just immediately after that prayer, because the kingdom of darkness was so penetrated by what it heard and by what it seen. So we are making a difference. Let's pray. Father, we're not here to play, but we're here to, Lord, enjoy life as we go forward in the kingdom of God. And what we're really here for is to serve you and be made disciples and to become and go into revival. And Lord, to see the very best, our life is the very best when we are following you. The blessings over our families, our homes, our children, our businesses. When we enter into what you call obedience, that's the best. Now, Lord, we're so thankful for every man and woman and young person and a child that's here today. We bless them in the name of Jesus. We pray the things that we've heard, because these things are sacred. Lord, we pray that they'll stay in us. They'll be preserved by the Holy Ghost. We pray that you'll lead our day, lead our week. Help us all to go into prayer this week, seek your face, and go to the next level. This we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here, staying here. You're blessed. Amen.